Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back at you here on a Thursday, January the 20th, 2022, 1-20-22. 16 and a half minutes past the hour here, WWGH radio time. Kind of a chilly morning out there, but nothing we can't handle. Now, got a lot here on the agenda this morning at WWGH Radio. A lot of stuff I want to talk with you about. Also want to remind you, before we get moving here this morning, that this morning, well, today here on the station, we have Glenn Coble on the air when I go off the air this morning, starting at 10 a.m. until 12 noon. And then Swap Shop today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. And then Adam the Computer Guy from 2:10 until 3 p.m. today. That is the broadcast schedule. Now, something I wanted to mention was Marion City Schools. I know a lot of the listeners out there have grandkids and kids who are involved with Marion City Schools, and yesterday they returned with the mask mandate. And I don't know much beyond this, but I do know that Harding has went to a remote schedule today. I believe that's because of staffing is... And I think a lot of kids are out on quarantine is what my understanding was. So I think there are some staffing issues, as Dr. Arusi is saying in our news report this morning and will run today and has run yesterday. So just an update here. Marion City Schools are... Well, Harding is on remote today. Other schools I'm not sure about. I know some other schools have been doing remotes if there is a staffing issue, but I think they've been doing it on a school-to-school basis at this point. But it's interesting how this is all shaking out. So just wanted to bring that up for a second. Now, something I want to do off the top here is something I've been meaning to do all week. Oh, and I did want to mention, you know, I said yesterday we got in touch with Sue Millizer, the Catwoman. She had called the station and left a message. Well, we have not got Sue on the air today, and I hope we do that. I don't know if she has called anybody else but the station, but we're going to try to get her on. Because when she called in, she had talked about something that she needed done. And I don't want to give her a number on the air. But if she comes on and gives her number on the air, that's okay. And today is Swap Shop from 12:10 to 1 p.m. So that might be a good show for her to call in if she does need something done. But we would also like to talk to her on this show about her... dog bite from many years ago, and also does she still have a lot of the cats over there. So if anybody knows Sue's number, or if Sue, if you're out there listening, because she did say in the phone message that she enjoys the show, give us a call and we'll talk here. We have really nothing else on the agenda this morning as far as guests go, so we can certainly make that happen. Now, that being said, Well, I didn't get this done early in the week, so I want to make sure to get it done now because something else happened yesterday that brings this to my attention. Two people who were very regular guests on my programs over the last 20 years passed away in the last week. And their passings did not get a whole lot of national attention, and that's too bad because they are both, were both, nationally known celebrities at one point or another. Now, the first one was Ralph Emery, who really was the dean of Nashville Broadcasters. Ralph Emery passed away on Saturday at the age of 88. Would have been last Saturday. And let me tell you about Ralph. Ralph was on the show many times for many different reasons. But Ralph was the Walter Cronkite of Nashville Broadcasting. I don't know how long Ralph, it was over a half century. Ralph was involved in radio and television in the Nashville area and nationally. If you remember the TNN network when it was still called the Nashville network, I think it became Spike later on in its life. I don't even think there is a TNN anymore. But when TNN first came on, it was the Nashville network. And every night, they had a talk show, 5 nights a week, from the Opryland Hotel. And this is probably mid-80s through early 90s this was on. And it was live from Nashville, Tennessee, the Opryland Hotel, and it was called Nashville Now. Now, I can't remember if it was live or it was taped, but it was a great, great show if anybody remembers Nashville Now. Basically, what it was like a Johnny Carson type of talk show every night. I think it was on 8, 9 o'clock in the evening. And Ralph Emery was the host because he knew everybody in country music. He had done that for so long. He knew Waylon Jennings. He knew Johnny Cash. He knew Reba McEntire. He knew Tammy Wynette. He knew the whole bunch. And he had a sidekick on this show, which was a puppet named Shotgun Red. The voice of Shotgun Red was a gentleman named Steve Hall. Steve died a few years ago, very, very young. Steve died, I think, at the age... Well, he was not very old. I can't remember if it was 50s or 60s, but he died very young. And we had Shotgun Red and Steve on this show at one point or another. But Ralph Emery was great. And if you go to YouTube and you look him up, you can find some of the best interviews in country music. People gave interviews to Ralph in the country music industry who they did not give other interviews to. There's a two-part interview on the internet with Andy Griffith, which is great, probably from the mid-90s. There's also an interview with Waylon Jennings that is great, probably from the mid-90s. And you can also catch some of these old Nashville Now programs with he and Shotgun Red doing duets, so on and so forth. Well, Ralph would come on this show, and he was always great. And a little side note story that has nothing to do with Ralph's broadcasting ability, but when I went to Nashville in, I believe it was February of 2020, so that would have been a couple years ago now, about 2 years ago, I called Ralph because I thought, well, I would love to meet Ralph in person, and I would love to interview Ralph. So I called Ralph, and I said, hey, I'm coming down to Nashville this weekend. I'll be there Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning. Would it be possible if we can do an interview? And Ralph called me right back. I believe he emailed me and gave me his phone number. But he said, every Saturday morning, I meet with a group of country music artists, including Ray Stevens, who I think we all know Ray Stevens. He played the first Popcorn Festival, did a lot of the country music parody songs. He said, every Saturday morning, we meet at this restaurant in Nashville, and I want to invite you over to the breakfast. So, I did go over and have breakfast that Saturday morning at this restaurant. Now, the funny thing about this was, I thought this would be a very... I guess I thought... I didn't think it was going to be like a country club. I didn't think that. And I didn't think it was going to be, you know, a high-dollar place. But I thought it would be kind of like... maybe even a Bob Evans type of a place or something like that. It was this little kind of a hole-in-the-wall Nashville restaurant. And it was very good food. I think I had pancakes or something that morning, something I normally would not have that I had while I was on vacation. I decided to have it. But just a little hole-in-the-wall place, and here you had Ralph Emery, the Dean of Country Music, and Ray Stevens. So it was such a good memory. And then Ralph came on the show. Do you remember? Now, this kind of got papered over because of the pandemic. The pandemic started about a month after I got back from Nashville in 2020. But do you remember the tornadoes that blew through Nashville and did all kinds of damage? Probably late February, early March of 2020, right before the pandemic. And this was talked about quite a bit at the time, but when the pandemic came in, it all kind of got slid to the side. Well, when this happened, I had just been to Nashville. I think it was the weekend before, or 10 days. I had not been gone very long when this tornado blew through Nashville and did all this damage. So I wanted to get a report from Nashville from somebody who lived in Nashville. And I called Ralph Emery, because Ralph lived in Nashville. He was a train broadcaster. And even at that point, I believe he was 86, probably, at that point, he was still a newsy person. He still could give a report. So in honor and tribute to Ralph Emery, I wanted to go back to March 5th of 2020, the last time, coincidentally, Ralph was on my program. And I believe in this clip, we're talking a little bit about the Nashville tornadoes and possibly a little bit else. I can't remember exactly what's in this clip, but it'll run a few minutes here. So here's the late Ralph Emery on this program, March the 5th, 2020. Take it away, Ralph.
Good, Pat. Even when the Cubs...
Oh, wait a second here. Wrong clip. This is Ralph. Take it away, Ralph.
And that has happened here. People have turned out in droves to go into the damaged area and pick up sticks, take the chainsaws, and cut down pieces of trees. And the fact is, they were the people to come out and open the roads so that the first responders could get through. Yeah, we've had an awful lot of people with big hearts, and they have, and the, I believe the mayor was asking for more help for people who could do that kind of work, come out and do strenuous work, moving pieces of lumber, wallboard. I'm not kidding you, Scott. It's just all over the place.
Mm. Ralph, if you were doing your own show and on the air today, what would you be saying about this?
Well, probably the morning show I used to do, we featured news, weather, school reports when schools closed, or we had bus reports about the buses that were running to school. We had a lot of information on our regular shows. I'm sure that I would be in a position to pass along important information to the public about schools. Another thing that's so important are places that take care of little children and while their mamas and daddies work. And those places are, at the moment, most part, are closed. But I'm sure they'll reopen next week. I know that, as I think about it, there were, among the dead, there were three or four small children that were killed. But I'm sure I would be passing along information to assist the public.
You know, Ralph, I think this is just another example of the precarious nature of life. And, you know, knowing that you were so close to it, what do you think at this particular point? You know, a shift in weather and things could have been bad.
Well, you could get me started on things at the North Pole. I think we have a lot of problems with our weather because of the air, and particularly coming out of China, where I don't think they have much air control. But I'm sure that if you've watched a lot of television, as I have, you've seen the drama going on at the North Pole and the South Pole, where the ice is melting much faster than we had predicted or projected, and I think that's a major problem.
Could this be one of those long-term effects of what they call climate change now?
Well, climate change, I think, has to be addressed by some senators and congressmen who have some guts. I realize that those who don't support climate change are worried about taking jobs away from the mainstream. But somebody's going to have to do something, because over the years that will get worse unless it's addressed. Our scientists are trying to raise red flags and tell us we need to do something, and I agree with them that climate change is a major, major problem. And I think it's not only for Tennessee, but it's for Ohio as well, that can interfere with everything.
Ralph, we have about 60 seconds left here to put a button on this, and I can't thank you enough for your time. What's the most important thing people outside of Nashville should know right now, who only know there was a tornado there Tuesday morning?
Well, it's not a good time to visit Nashville unless you come down here to work. I know that we have a lot of lines down. People are without electricity, and I know that linemen from other areas are coming into the city. So right now, the city just needs help in order to recover.
Mm. And we hope it recovers fast. I had a tremendous time when I was there about 10 days ago. It was a very great city to visit. It was the first time I had been there.
And that was Ralph Emery on this show, March the 5th, 2020. And Ralph passed away this past Saturday at the age of 88. And, you know, even there at, I believe, 86 years old, Ralph, the voice was getting a little weak at that point, but Ralph still could deliver and was on top of the news. So we will remember Ralph Emery very well over the years. So rest well, Ralph. Now, the other, and this kind of spurred doing this yesterday, I got word that Pat Brickhouse, the wife of late Chicago Cubs broadcaster Jack Brickhouse, had passed away on Monday, I believe it was, at the age of 91. Now, Pat Brickhouse was truly one of my all-time favorite people. Number one, I love the Chicago Cubs. And number two, I have always loved Jack Brickhouse and Harry Carey, who were the Chicago Cubs broadcasters. And Pat was Jack's wife. And of course, Jack has been gone since 1998. So when the Cubs would get a rally going, when it looked like they were going to make it to the World Series, or they started winning games, I would always have Pat Brickhouse on to talk about the Cubs, because she was a part-time citizen of Chicago. She still lived in Chicago, and I think spent half the year in Arizona, spent the winters in Arizona. She was a fixture at Wrigley Field, and I just really enjoyed Pat. Now, my best memory of Pat Brickhouse is the Great World Series of 2016. As many of you remember, it was the Cleveland Indians at that time versus the Chicago Cubs, and the Cubs had not won a World Series in 105 years, and the Indians hadn't won one in a long period of time either, but it wasn't 105 years. And it was being played up in Cleveland, and Terry Tackett and I even went up there and covered this World Series. But I was rooting for the Cubs because I am a Cubs fan. And the Cubs got into the World Series, and everybody thought the Cubs were going to win. And then the Indians came in, and I believe, I'm trying to remember exactly how it happened, but by the time we got to the fourth game, it was, I believe, 3-1. The Cubs had won one game, and the Indians won three. So there are seven games in the World Series. So going into Game 5, if the Indians just won one more game, it was going to be over. And the Cubs needed to win three in a row to win that World Series. They needed to win Game 5, 6, and 7. This was after the first four. So we went in. What I did was, at that time, there were three people: the wife of Harry Carey, Dutchie Carey, the wife of Jack Brickhouse, Pat Brickhouse, a longtime journalist in Chicago, Jack Rosenberg, and a longtime HBO boxing analyst, sports writer for many years, Larry Merchant. I had them on the show almost daily at that time because everybody was watching the World Series. It had an Ohio tie-in because of the Indians, and because of the Cubs, it was just big, big news. And it was right before the 2016 presidential election. And we never knew how it was going to end. We didn't know when it was going to end. We didn't know what was going to happen. But it wasn't looking good for the Cubs, to say the least. So here comes Game 5, and the Cubs win. So now it's 3-2. Now, it's nice the World Series didn't end at Game 5, but still, we're going into Game 6, and if the Indians win that, again, we're over. It's all over. And if the Cubs win, all that does is tie it up. We still got to play a Game 7. So we go into Game 6. The Cubs win again. Tie the whole thing up. So now we're going to Game 7, 3-3. The Cubs and the Indians. And it was being played up in Cleveland. So, to make a long story short, or an already long story short, shorter, the Indians lead most of this game. And I think everybody and their uncle was watching this game. The Indians lead most of this game, and then I think we get to the seventh or eighth inning, almost at the end, and the Cubs tie it up. The Cubs tie this game up. So now it goes into extra innings. A seventh game, World Series, extra innings. Whoever scores first is going to win. So we get into that, and then there's a rain delay. So this is 1, 2 o'clock in the morning at this point, Cleveland, Ohio time, Eastern time. Well, the Cubs came out after the rain delay, scored, and the 105-year curse on the Chicago Cubs was all over, and they won the World Series. And the next day, we had Dutchie Carey, we had Pat Brickhouse, we had Larry Merchant, we had Jack Rosenberg, we had them all on, and they had been with us day to day because we didn't know what was going to happen. So this is one of my favorite interviews with Pat Brickhouse. This is not the whole interview. This is just a moment from October 24th, 2016, the day after the Cubs won the World Series. October 24th, 2016, Pat Brickhouse on this show talking about the Cubs winning that elusive World Series.
We're not doing well. Even when it, well, obviously 71 years without winning the pennant, going to the World Series, the Cubs had a plethora of names that just come to people's minds. Certainly Jack Brickhouse, certainly Harry Carey, certainly Ernie Banks. Is this in some way a little...
Oh, I found another one, Curtis and Jenkins.
Absolutely, absolutely. But is it bittersweet that the people who, Mr. Cub, Jack Brickhouse, Harry Carey, are not here to see this.
Oh, yes, it's a crime and a sin. But I have a feeling they're watching. And so do a lot of other people. And that's part of the stuff they were telling me in their messages. But I posted something on my Facebook page, and I'm telling you, so far I've gotten over 100 responses. It's very heartwarming to know that people remember. Gives me a wonderful feeling.
Do you miss not being in Chicago for this?
Yes and no, actually, because it's like a zoo. You know? Unless I could get a police escort. It's got to be crazy. Now, I hear the prices they're charging for these two games in Chicago. But people will be willing and happy to pay it.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure, it would be nice to be there, but again, it's a zoo of people. And, in fact, the broadcasters on the National Fox Television were through with their broadcast, and one of Jack's favorites and mine all these years, I think he got a bum rap, Pete Rose, was one of the broadcasters. So they said, well, we're finished broadcasting, but there's no point in our trying to leave, because we couldn't possibly get through traffic. I mean, the streets were jammed, everything was blocked. Yeah, and I, frankly, I just as soon not fight it. And I'm very happy to be here. Sure, it would be exciting and thrilling, in fact. I represented, I had my own marketing firm, and I represented a couple of three, actually, to be exact, places like, you know, saloons, eating, hamburger places. I was thinking of them. How exciting for them to have this happen, because they're all going to go crazy. And they will, until this is all over. How many games do you think, because you're an expert, do you think it's going to go?
You know, I predicted, since we're all on Facebook, I predicted, even though, you know, a bit of us, because I'm here in Ohio, we like the Indians, I truly believe it's going to be 5 games, 4-1 for the Cubs, because I think the Indians will get one in Cleveland, because it's a big deal for them, too. But it's going to be very hard for the Indians to win in Wrigley, and if anybody watched the celebration, and just watch how the Cubs played in the last 3 games against the Dodgers, who are not a bad team. They won by margins of 5, 6, and 5. That's very tough.
Yeah.
And they certainly have momentum.
I think that the Indians and the Cubs are pretty equally matched, don't you?
They are. I just think, you know, I thought the Dodgers and the Cubs, honestly, were evenly matched, and I thought that's why they were able to tie it up. But something happened in those last 3 games. They won by such margins. You just don't see that when you get...
Yeah, it was. And again, that was Dutchie Carey on this program, March. Now I think, now that I'm looking at this, I think the Cubs had just won the first game. That was not the the day after the World Series. But we did have her on the day after the World Series. Now, maybe I'll be able to pull that up here quickly and see if we can hear from... Pat Brickhouse here momentarily.
Overwhelmed, and I don't think it'll happen in Cleveland tomorrow night or Wednesday. I think when they go for that 3-game stretch.
Well, I told you we had them on so often during that time period that, here it is, November 3rd, 2016. I believe this is Pat Brickhouse on this program, the day after the big World Series win, if I'm not mistaken.
Again,
and the black cat,
there was a World Series after 108 years in seven.
I've been on there for
Thank you, Mala. That's right.
Well, now we've got all the feedback.
Games in the World Series. After losing a lead in the bottom of the eighth, extra innings, a rain delay, the Chicago Cubs have become the World Series champion after 108 years. And there's certainly a lady we could not do this celebratory show today without. She is the wife of just one of the most iconic broadcasters in Chicago Cubs history, if not the most iconic, and maybe the most iconic broadcaster in the history of WGN. I'm sure he is and was. That, of course, is Jack Brickhouse, and we, of course, are joined by his wife, Pat Brickhouse. Pat, it finally happened.
I have only two words to say, Scott. I'm hoarse already. Hey, hey!
Oh, my goodness, Pat. When you were watching the game last night, what'd you think? You had to be every emotion in the world.
Oh, my Helen. I mean, you know, here's how to get a heart attack very quickly. And I thought, oh, gosh, not again. It can't be. and they did it. I mean, I don't think it sunk in. I've heard from people. From Chicago, I don't think it sunk in. Everyone knows. They can't believe it really, really happened. And I don't know. They, like I said to you in one of our interviews previously, maybe they're going to shut the city down because I think everyone must have crawled in to work sick today.
You know, Pat, it only could be this way. 108 years. They're down by 2 games, 3-1. They come back, they tie it up, they go to game 7, somebody's going to win last night, they get a great lead going, then in the bottom of the 8th, they lose the lead, it's all tied up, the rain comes in, we go into extra innings, but they pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, oh my God, they blew it again, you know? These kids are phenomenal, they just don't quit. They don't give up.
Well, Pat, you said it early on. You said, don't break our hearts again. When the eighth inning happened, the bottom of the eighth, when the Indians tied it up, what were you thinking?
Here we go again. I don't know, you know, how to get a heart attack, but I thought, oh, not again. It can't be, really. And the whole city is up for grabs. I can imagine that parade that's going to be held, I don't know when yet, probably in a couple of days, will be phenomenal. Something like the city probably never has seen before, nor will they again. I mean, when you look at the history of what they've accomplished after all these years. And here's the team, I mean, they showed Theo Epstein, who put the team together, in his comments, and he said, give me 5 years to build a team. God bless him, he did.
Absolutely.
To his word, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do want to go to a little clip here. We have a little clip of something Jack Brickhouse said many, many years ago, and it's certainly apropos today. So hold the line here for a second. Let's go to a little shot of legendary Cubs broadcaster Jack Brickhouse.
The tape still fresh.
It's one guy said to me, I'm a Cub fan. I'm a third generation. Been a Cub fan since 1908, the last time. We know the last time the Cubs won a World Series was 1908. But any team can have a bad century.
Any team can have a bad century. Pat, the century, it happened, but it's over now.
Yeah, well, I was there when it was at the end of the 70s. And at the end of every season, the fans would stop you and say, Mr. Brickhouse, how are the Cubs going to do next year? And Jack, in his proverbial optimism, would say, oh, they'll be a little better. So finally he turned to me and he said, you know what? I got to come up with a better line than that in the next season. Now, bear in mind, this was like 79. he came up with that anyone could have a bad century.
The legendary Pat Brickhouse. Now, that was her appearance the day after the Cubs won the World Series, November 3rd, 2016. And Pat Brickhouse passed away on Monday at the age of 91, but she had a great long life, and I know she enjoyed her life. And we like to think that she is with Jack Brickhouse again. So those are two passings that we wanted to note here this morning on the program, because they were two people who were always very good to me. Ralph Emery gone Saturday at the age of 88, and Pat Brickhouse gone Monday at the age of 91. And we'll remember them well. Does anybody have any memories of Pat Brickhouse or Ralph Emery? All the work Ralph did with the Nashville scene, the Nashville Network, National Nashville Network, TNN at the time? Or does anybody remember that World Series from 2016 in which the Cubs beat the Indians? You got to hear some of the particulars of the game there. Nice to hear. Pat always had a very strong voice, and it was hoarse that morning. You got to remember, Arizona time, a little different than Ohio time. So we were calling her rather early in the morning after a very, very late game in 2016. So, again, Ralph Emery passed away Saturday at the age of 88, the voice of broadcasting in Nashville, and Pat Brickhouse passed away on Monday at the age of 99. Certainly legendary Cubs fan, wife of legendary broadcaster Jack Brickhouse. So there we go. Anything on anybody's mind this morning? 52 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you. Do want to mention, I passed by the building on 95 that is going to be Del Taco, and they're getting the work done in there. The windows are in. The exterior of the building pretty much still looks like plywood, but I'm sure they do these things very quickly. I just don't know about parking situation. I was looking at it in accordance to the restaurant, and I assume they're going to have a drive-through. I've never been to a Del Taco, but it would seem to me as if that's going to be a tight fit. You know, you think of the land that little spot was on. Not a whole lot of room there for a drive-through and parking, plus your employees have to park somewhere. Has anybody thought about that with the Del Taco site over there? And also, we've talked a lot about the Chicken Shack up on North Main Street on this station. Now, we did hear that they opened back up on Monday the 17th. Has anybody been over there since they opened back up after the 5-day closure because of illness? Not COVID, they said, but just a lot of employees down sick. Has anybody been over to the Chicken Shack this week? Are they back open? Are they doing well? Are things going well? Did they get their staffing problems figured out? Give us a buzz here. We love to know information on this station, 740-383-9944. The Chicken Shack, to me, is just an interesting story. Here it came out of the blue that they were going to open back up a couple weeks ago. They sent a lady out there dressed like a chicken to stand in front of the restaurant. Word spread like wildfire, were person to person and on the internet, that they were open back up. They put menus in the window. They opened on Wednesday. Then Angie and I went over there on Friday to have the pre-show dinner, and they were closed because of an electrical problem. Then they opened back up on Saturday, and I think they were opened 3 or 4 days. And then they closed because of illness, and they were closed for 5 more days. We're supposed to open back up this past Monday the 17th. Has anybody checked to see if the Chicken Shack did open back up on Monday? Are they up and running? Have they solved their employee problems? Give me a buzz. 55 minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We certainly hope they have, because a lot of people seem to like the food there. Now, I have yet to go there, but if I know that they are back up and running, I would certainly take a trip over there and See what all the hubbub is about. So does anybody have any news on the Chicken Shack? Are they back up and running? Is everything going okay over there? And is there a lot of excitement for this Del Taco? You know, I wonder about this. We have a lot of Mexican-themed restaurants in Marion. We have El Campesino, which has two locations now. I know the one on Delaware Avenue still does very well. I think the one on Mount Vernon Avenue does very well. We have three Taco Bells in this town. We have the one on Mount Vernon Avenue, the one on Delaware Avenue, and the one on North Main Street. We have Victor's Tacos up on North Main Street. We have, what's the name of the restaurant in the plaza that's of Mexican theme? Mi Jalapeno. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I think that's open. Either last night when I was out or I think the night before.
Oh, so the Chicken Shack is back open.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know, because the next couple days, maybe if not today, tomorrow, maybe I'll get a shot over there. I would love to hear from somebody over there, because they've kind of been open and not open, and we still don't really know their hours. I don't think anybody sent me the hours that they're open, and, you know, we like to see businesses, certainly local businesses, succeed here in Marion.
Yeah, I don't think there was, maybe three people in there. I don't know if they were the customers or what. But unless they've closed again. I think when they have that COVID, aren't they supposed to close?
Well, I don't think...
A certain amount of name.
Well, according to the internet, they didn't have COVID. It was just they were sick, is what the message said.
Oh, okay. And Scott, I've got another thing I just saw on my far stick.
Okay.
I told you about that PPE. It's that personal protective equipment for people, COVID, all those... it was over $10 million worth of gowns, face masks. I don't know if it was just for hospitals or what. Well, now somebody saw that out in California, I guess right around where they live. So they went and investigated. And there's another place. This was in San Mateo County, and this is in San Benito County. And there's millions of face masks that they are shredding, because nobody wants them. And they've been there, I think, since last June or July. It must have been stuff that Trump ordered. And I don't know why they're not putting it out, because my brother has breathing issues and not good at health. So I, at Ollie's, when they had them, I think a year or two ago or whatever, I got, you know, several. And I gave them to him because he can't wear the cloth ones. But they come, when I went out and was tested at the post office, some of them had the shields on. They come down, and, you know, it's something. It'll protect you. And they can't understand it, and nobody, the county, nobody knows this stuff's there. And so when they asked, they said, well, the federal government told them to destroy the shields. And so now, I guess it was ordered when Trump was in.
Now, what channel is this on?
Huh?
I said, what station is broadcasting this?
Okay, I wrote it down because when I don't write stuff down, I have to go through the little blocks of stuff galore. It's on ABC 7 News out in California, and I just put PPE, I just put California, you know, destroying the face shields, and it brings it up on my far stick. It's kind of like a little computer I can key stuff in, and I don't get that much like you get on that internet.
Well,
but you can pull that up. And this one guy, his wife said, well, she saw that on the TV station about that San Mateo, and she said, well, this is right down, you know, around where they live. She said that same company is called ICU Company. She said that's on those same boxes. Well, all these boxes, I guess it's like a football field. There's just thousands of boxes. So they went down and investigated, and they called the news and turned it in. So now they've got another one. People are turning in more of these, where all this equipment is sitting there for people to use, and they're letting it ruin or destroying it. Now they're going to want to come back and use all this money and reorder this stuff. And, you know, if they're free, why wouldn't you take a mask? Because me, I've got some here, you know, and different stuff. So just bring that up, PPE. I put California County destroying, you know, the face mask and stuff. And so the face shields. It's the plastic ones. And they're taking them to a shredder, and they told the county doesn't know it. I mean, anybody working in the government in these counties? And she said, well, they're filling up our landfills, and we're full already. So,
I'm not really sure. That's kind of an odd story to me, because most of the face masks and face shields that I have seen are not made by the government. They're made by private business. Like, if you walk into any business...
These all had China. They had to be imported. This stuff is, I think it's when it started. Trump probably ordered all this stuff.
Well, I don't think the federal government ever, I mean, unless just for their employees, but I know like hospitals and places like that, most of these things are sold in the stores. And I do know that if you go into most department stores, grocery stores, pharmacies that are selling these masks, they have a ton of them because people really didn't buy them. When the mask mandate went up, they had all this hand sanitizer that they had ordered, and a lot of stores now are just giving away the hand soap and the hand sanitizer and taking a loss because they ordered so much thinking people would want it, and then when it went away, people don't want it.
Well, I was going to say, even like nursing homes, some people, but the ones that could wear a shield, because a lot of the workers, when they go in, if it gets in nursing homes, I don't know if you can go in. They're probably the one taking it in.
I know that all the places I have seen that are requiring masks, I've never seen a shortage. They always have them for their employees. They supply them for their employees.
Well, I never see the shields. The only place I saw those was at Ollie's.
Well, no, I don't think they supply the shields, but I don't know. I guess private business can do what they want with the stuff that they order.
This is what government ordered. It's county. It's not like CVS or somebody ordering it. And the other one was gowns, masks, and they were hospital gowns, large. They even looked at the boxes, extra large. They went down through there. This isn't for people. As far as I know, most of this is probably for hospitals. I don't know, but they said they've got another one. Somebody, I guess, on that TikTok, whatever that is.
Well, usually how it works, like when Dr. Arusi was on last week, the schools and the hospitals order it, and then they get reimbursed from the government. The government doesn't order the stuff and then give it to the hospitals, because they don't know how much the hospital will need.
Well, I don't know. See, I don't know if this is given. They just asked the one lady in the county. She didn't even know it was there. She checked, and she was told, I don't know by whom, she said the federal government told us to destroy it. So they must have owned it. It must have been, maybe they ordered it for hospitals and that, because that huge amount, they'd almost have to.
And I don't know. I just don't know where the federal government would have a building to store this stuff in a small county like this.
Well, I think out in California, they've got huge warehouses. The first one, the gowns and all that mass, they took them out of a warehouse that they were in to put something else in, and they let it. They didn't cover it. It's like a football field of boxes, and they let it sit out in the rain, and then it just started falling apart. And this here, it showed the boxes, too, just out there, and they've been out in the rain. So somebody either ordered a bunch of stuff they shouldn't have, but he said he's got another one coming, so I'm going to try to catch it.
Okay, well,
and see what it is. But
I got to go to break here.
Over 10 million, the first one, I don't know how much over, and this here is probably getting close to it, too. So, have to wait and see if they order them later down the road.
We'll see what. I got to go to break here, but thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
All right, we'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Live on Sunday morning at 12:15. Also, we'd like to let you know that we invite you and would love to have you come to the church. We are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church.